Good morning, church. It's so good to be here this morning. Let's stand, let's worship, let's sing to our God, the one and only, the one worthy of our praise. Amen. Holy Spirit, we invite you here this morning. We want your presence, Lord, to fall on us. Speak to us this morning. On you, Lord Jesus. All the distractions go away now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the spirit of heaviness go away now in Jesus' name. We invite you here, Holy Spirit. We want you here, Holy Spirit. Fall on us, Lord. Our eyes focus on you.
Thank you.
voice, church. Lift up your voice right now. Yeshua is in the room.
Oh,
this morning, Lord. We praise you. Come on, church. Let's give him a shout of praise. Now you can greet one another and then take a seat. Hey everyone, we are so glad you're joining us. Whether you're with us online or in person, here are a few things you need to know. There are a lot of great things happening at Harvest Time. Here are a few ways you can get involved right now. To check out all the things that are going on, scan the QR code or visit htchurch.com.
If you would like to give, you can visit us at htchurch.com. Click on Give at the top of the page or use our Realm Connect app to set up reoccurring giving. Or give at any time using the Harvest Time offering envelopes.
We have so many opportunities to believe, belong, and be light. For more information on all things Harvest Time, meet us at the Connect Desk. We love you, Harvest Time, and have an amazing week.
Hello. Hello. It has been a blessing to connect as women these past 3 months.
Women are building friendships, finding prayer partners, and we are receiving testimonies of healing.
It's amazing to see what the Lord is doing as women gather, pray, and fellowship.
We are inviting all women to join us for a brunch on May 6th from 10 a.m. to 12 noon.
Renowned speaker Maria Dorso will be our guest speaker.
Tickets are on sale now on the website. Please purchase a ticket for your friend and yourself, and you don't want to miss this one.
We look forward to seeing you there.
God bless you.
Good morning, everybody. God bless you. Welcome to Harvest Time. It is so good to be together in the Lord's presence this morning. His presence is rich among us. King David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. We want to welcome you and welcome everybody who's worshiping with us online this morning. If you are worshiping with us online, we welcome you. We ask if you wouldn't mind subscribing to our channel. You can find us on YouTube and all our social media under the name HT Church. Want to remind our moms and dads, we have nursery care for your infants and toddlers in all of our services. So if you need a little help with your little ones this morning, just reach out to one of our hosts and they'll be happy to point you in the right direction. In the 9 o'clock service, we have ministry for all of your kids up to the age of 4. And in this service, we have ministry for all kids from birth through grade 5. Something you may not be aware of, we want to let you know, if you did not know, that translation services are available to you in Spanish and in Portuguese. There's a QR code for each language on the left-hand side of your program there. You can scan that. And if you do, you'll be able to hear the service. There's no code required to do so. The ushers are going to be coming to wait on us for our giving in just a few moments, and we want to take this opportunity to thank you for all of your faithful financial support of Harvest Time Church. Thank you for your faithfulness in bringing the Lord's tithe. That's the first 10% of what the Father has entrusted to us. How many of you know that God promises his blessing to his children when we give, when we sow into his kingdom? And we very much appreciate as well all of your giving towards the work of missions, spreading the good news of Jesus all around the world. And we appreciate very much your gifts for our building fund. Inside your program this morning, there is a giving envelope, and you can use that envelope to give in a few different ways. You can give using a debit card or a credit card, and if you prefer giving that way, we would just ask that you help us out by providing complete card information. All of the numbers, including that little troublesome security code that you can't quite memorize, and that'll be a big help to our bookkeeping staff. You can also give by a check made payable to Harvest Time Church, and if you're giving cash and you like credit for your gifts, please make sure that we know who you are. Online giving, as you heard, is always available at htchurch.com. Just hit the giving link at the top of the homepage to get started, or you can give by text and through the Realm app as well. A couple of things for you very quickly before the ushers come. This Wednesday, all of our kids and teens ministries are up and running at 7 o'clock. There are on Wednesday also groups and courses for adults as well. We've got life groups of many different kinds that meet for our adults all throughout the week here at the church and off campus as well. Jump onto the website, hit that tab at the top that says life groups, and you can start to search for a group that's right for you. This Thursday is the National Day of Prayer, and we want to invite you to come and pray with us for America. How many of you know our nation needs help? Our nation needs a touch from heaven. It needs Jesus. And we're going to be here praying at the church from 6 a.m. to noon. You can come for all or any part of that. Join us for as much time as you can. And then at 12:30 p.m., the public is invited to the National Day of Prayer observances at the Greenwich Town Hall. We're going to be there praying. Some of our pastors will be there praying together with leaders from different churches and faith groups. Or if, you know, that's just a little far for you during the day, there are National Day of Prayer observances all around the place, probably near to where you live or work. So let's pray for our nation this week. Ladies, don't forget also that brunch that's coming up this Saturday with our good friend Pastor Maria Durso. You can still get tickets after service today or online. Going to ask the ushers to come and wait on us now for our giving. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the beautiful name of Jesus this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you are a kind and merciful God. We thank you so much for all of your love and care, for all of your provision and faithfulness towards your children. You truly are a God who keeps his word and who keeps covenant with his people. Lord, we come before you now asking you to receive these tithes and offerings, receive our building fund giving, receive our missions giving that comes from grateful hearts. Lord, would you bless and multiply this seed now and bless us too, Lord, so that we can serve you in the joy of the Lord and in the power of the Spirit in this new week. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you give this morning.
Everyone, God bless you. Didn't our worship team do a great job today? Thank you, Juliana. Thank you, worship team. We're glad to see you this morning. If you have your Bible or your Bible app, we want to invite you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want to share with you for a few minutes today about until he comes, until he comes. While you're finding way to 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to start reading in verse 9. A couple quick things, very important. Today is the last day to participate in nominating board members. Next week after this worship service, after the second worship service, we have our annual report once a year. Our pastors and our board of deacons and trustees bring to the congregation a report of all of our ministry activity and our financial activity of the previous year. So we're going to be presenting the financials from 2022 to you at the meeting. And we'll be filling three seats on the board of deacons and trustees. So our friend Brian Kelly is finishing his second term as a trustee on the board. And so he has to take a step off and take a break before he's eligible to serve again. Brad Applegren is finishing his term as a deacon, and they are relocating and will be filling that seat. And then our friend Lou Bastone is finishing his first term as a deacon. And so Lou is eligible to serve a second term if he's nominated. So today's the last day. There's a ballot box in the back and a form you can use if you're a member of the church. You must be a member to nominate someone, and you must be a member for at least 2 years to serve on our board. And so pray about that. The qualifications for board members are printed for you here in your bulletin. And if you want to participate, today's the last opportunity to do that. Just want to say, I forgot to mention last week, our youth worship team did an amazing job leading the offering last week. And did you... did you notice the t-shirts that they were wearing and all of our kids were wearing? That was designed by our friend Lucas Duncan Miller. And did I get it right this time? I said it wrong in the first service. I think I said Drunken Miller. They're not drunken, they're Duncan. But Lucas designed those, and those t-shirts look great. And we're just super proud of our kids. And then just before we read the word today, we just want to say thank you to everyone who has made a commitment to the Prepare His House Capital Campaign. We have continued receiving pledge cards throughout this last week in the mail, some via email. And I want to let you know, if you have not yet made a commitment to the campaign, there is still time to do that. We are just praying for widespread participation from our HTC family. We can't all give equal amounts, but we can all sacrifice to help meet the need. And so if you love your church, we're hoping that you'll participate along with all the rest of us who have, and just put in your pledge. There are pledge cards at the Prepare His House table located in the foyer off in that direction. And you can drop your pledge card in an offering basket in any of the offering receptacles in the foyer, drop it off at the church office, mail it in. Want to welcome everybody worshiping with us online. And you can make a commitment online by emailing our bookkeeper, Ethel, at accounting@htchurch.com. And just let her know what your commitment is. Ethel is the only one that handles commitments. But if you'd like to participate, there's still time to do that. And we thank you. All right, let's look. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about until he comes. Until he comes. 2 Timothy 4, reading in verse 9, Paul is writing to his spiritual son, Timothy. He says, "Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has forsaken me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia on missions. Only Luke is with me now. Get Mark and bring him with you because he's helpful to me in my ministry. I send Tychicus to Ephesus." There's a tongue twister. "When you come, bring the winter coat that I left with Carpus at Troas and my scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it, and I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth. I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. Do your best to get here before winter. Eubulus greets you, and so do Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers and sisters. The Lord be with your spirit, and grace be with you all." Let's talk for a few minutes about until he comes. We started out 2023 looking at this last letter that the Apostle Paul ever wrote. Before Lent, we shared the whole body of this letter together, but I want to circle back and I want to share a few thoughts on Paul's final words. I have to make a confession. Maybe it's because of the stage of life that I'm in right now, but I struggle a little bit with the way that the earthly journey ended for Paul. I'm not sure if anyone has ever suffered more for the sake of Christ than Paul. After about 30 years of intense trials, Paul's worst suffering came at the very end of his life. And I have to wonder, I complain a little bit to the Lord, after a lifetime of impeccably faithful service, couldn't the Lord have given Paul a break? Couldn't he let him enjoy a peaceful couple of years in an author's villa on the Amalfi Coast, or on Mykonos, or in Santorini? Instead of that, Paul wrote 2 Timothy from the subterranean dungeon of the Mamertine prison adjacent to the Colosseum in Rome. Prisoners were lowered into that dungeon by ropes through a hole in the ceiling. An underground spring ran across the floor of the dungeon. It was dark, it was cold, and it was wet. Paul's words here at the very end of 2 Timothy are often just regarded as sort of mundane greetings. They're often overlooked, but I want to tell you they're rich with meaning, and they're really the key to understanding the entire letter of 2 Timothy. Paul's final instructions indicate that he was planning on working full throttle for the Lord right up until he drew his very last breath. Paul had no plan to retire, and he had no desire to do so. His passion for Jesus and his love for people were such that he wanted to continue being more and more effective for Christ until Jesus came for him. This is my prayer. My prayer is that all of us would have the same mindset. My prayer is that we would have that same passion for Jesus, that we would have that same love for people, that we would decide that we are going to continue burning brightly for Christ until he comes again. I want to share a few thoughts with you about that today. On your way in, you received a program. In your program, there's an outline of today's sermon, and if you like, you can listen, watch the screens, fill in the blanks, follow along. Welcome again to everyone worshiping online with us. And there is a PDF file. There's a link in the chat section of the live stream. You can click on that and have an outline of today's sermon. Until he comes, a few thoughts from Paul's final words. First this, until he comes, let's remain diligently devoted to the scriptures. Until he comes, let's remain diligently devoted to the scriptures. In Paul's final words, I find two keys to staying faithful to Christ until the very end of our lives: continual reading and continual reflection on the Word of God, on the scriptures. Paul wants Timothy to come to him from Turkey to Rome as quickly as possible while the weather is still good for sailing. The trip from Ephesus to Rome could take a few months, traveling over land and sea. Time is of the essence, but on the way, Paul wants Timothy to stop in Troas in Turkey and pick up his winter coat and the scrolls and the parchments that Paul left behind there. That's probably where he was arrested. What were Paul's scrolls and his parchments? The scrolls were the Old Testament scriptures, the Jewish scriptures. The parchments were Paul's personal notes. his collection of theological reflections, possibly copies of the letters that he sent to churches and notes about the life of Jesus from eyewitnesses that would become the source material for at least two Gospels, Luke and Mark. These parchments were the beginnings of the New Testament. This is just a little note completely for free, but for those of you who are nerds like me and enjoy these kind of details, early Christians were the ones that were responsible for producing and popularizing books that replaced scrolls. Did you know that? Next time you open a book, thank an early Christian. Scrolls are extremely unwieldy. They're difficult to manipulate. You remember back in the days when your parents, when we used to keep those big old AAA roadmaps in the glove compartment? My father would be driving. We remember we were in Washington, D.C., and my mother had the roadmap out. And my father is saying, "Where should I go? Where should I go?" And my mom's saying, "I don't know. I don't know." My mother was the only human being I know that could fold up a roadmap again exactly the way it was. I could never do it. Scrolls were hard to handle. They were hard to manage. Books were much more conducive to studying different and comparing different texts, laying them flat at the same time. So Christians invented and made great use of books. But implicit in Paul's request for scrolls and parchments is something remarkable. Listen to this. It's quite certain that the Apostle Paul had the entire Old Testament, the entire Jewish scriptures memorized. In fact, he not only had them memorized, he had them memorized in two languages, in Hebrew and in Greek. In the first century, Rabbi Shammai in Jerusalem required all of his students to memorize the scriptures in those two languages. And you'll recall that before Jesus bumped into Paul on the Damascus Road, he was a prominent Jewish scholar. He was a rising star. In Paul's New Testament letters, he freely quotes the Greek version of the Jewish scriptures as he's dictating those letters to Timothy or to Luke. Here's another little side note, another little diversion for you. But Jesus also had the Jewish scriptures memorized. Every good Jewish boy was required to memorize large chunks of the Jewish scriptures, the Old Testament. But the law of Moses required something more for Jewish kings. Jewish kings had to handwrite their own copy of the scriptures and have that copy of the scriptures with them at all times. That was required in the law of Moses. And Jesus fulfilled the entire law, and Jesus is the King of Israel, the Son of David. So as a boy and as a teen, Jesus handwrote the scriptures and he memorized them all, so he always had them with him. Do you know that Jesus, is this all right? Can I share this with you? It's just a little, this is interesting stuff to me. I hope it is to you too. Jesus spontaneously quoted over 180 times from 24 different books of the Old Testament. When he read in the synagogue, he easily found his place in the scroll of Isaiah. That's something a novice could not do. Jesus immediately recognized it when the devil misinterpreted scripture in an effort to deceive him. But I want you to think about this with me. Think if you would. If Paul had the entire Jewish scripture memorized in two different languages, why did he need his scrolls? And if the contents of the parchments were his own body of work, if it was his own thoughts, why did he need them so urgently? You see, there's a message in that. What it tells me is that Paul was not nearly done reading. He wasn't nearly done reflecting on the Word of God, even in a damp dungeon. He fully intended to keep on studying God's Word. Even with an imminent death sentence hanging over his head, he fully intended to keep on reflecting on the Word. He intended to keep on learning about the Lord. He intended to keep on gaining new insights from the Holy Spirit into the Scriptures. He intended to keep on growing in the grace of Christ. He intended to keep on gaining spiritual wisdom wisdom and understanding. Paul wasn't nearly done teaching. He wasn't done feeding and mentoring his spiritual sons. Luke had a gospel brewing inside of him, and also the book of Acts waiting to come out. John Mark had a gospel brewing inside of him waiting to come out, and Paul was fully committed to spiritually forming his friends, giving them his insights into Jesus from the Old Testament scriptures so that they could write the story of Jesus for all perpetuity. Beloved, listen, as the signs of Jesus' coming continue to appear all around us, we need to be like Apostle Paul. Let's keep on reading and let's keep on reflecting on the Word of God. Let's keep on discovering. Let's keep on growing. Let's keep on maturing. Let's keep on nurturing. Here's a key to staying faithful to Christ until he comes. Have your own personal set of scrolls and parchments. That's your Bible. You ought to get yourself a paper. It's all right to read the Bible online, but you ought to have yourself a paper Bible for when the Antichrist shuts the internet off or takes the Bible off the internet, all right? Plus the fact that they're monkeying. You know, they're constantly going in and changing words in the NIV translation of the Bible online. So you ought to get yourself a paper copy of the Bible, write in it, mark it up, underline, highlight, and make your a set of parchments, a set of your own reflections, a set of your own notes and insights. The more you learn about a subject, the better questions you ask. Your questions become more sophisticated. They become more insightful. Because we've had a little success building, sometimes other pastors reach out to us and ask for our advice and insights. And based on their questions, I can tell that they're where I was in 1997 and 1998 when we started this journey. They don't know the right starting place. They don't know the right questions to ask yet. That's not a knock. It just means they have a journey they have to take like I did. I've been telling you for a while that we need to talk less when we pray. Let me add another thought to that. We need to ask more questions while we're reading the Bible. That's good right there. You see, you need to start your own collection of parchments, your own reflections and insights into the scripture. Here's why it's so important in these last days, because the enemy and his puppets won't be able to confuse you by twisting scriptures. Because like Jesus, you know the word. You know what it says, and you know what it means, and you've reflected upon it. I have a simple question from the Holy Spirit for you today. Are you spending enough time in the Word of God? Timothy, bring me my scrolls and bring me my parchments. Until he comes, a few thoughts from Paul's final words. Be devoted to Scripture. Here's another thought. Until he comes, let's remain courageously devoted to Jesus' mission. Let's remain courageously devoted to Jesus' mission. I should start here. How many of you like history? All right, if you like history, you're going to like this and be happy. If you don't like history, just be happy anyway, okay? I'm going to give you a little history about Paul's life. Paul actually had two imprisonments in Rome. The first time, he was arrested in Jerusalem. He was transferred to northern Israel, where he was stuck for about 2 years. And then he was transported to Rome to stand in front of Caesar. While he was in Rome waiting for that trial, he was under house arrest at his own expense. And things weren't too bad. This is where the book of Acts runs out in Acts chapter 28. There's actually no ending to the book of Acts. Luke, for whatever reason, just stopped writing. I think it's because things got so crazy after that. But Paul, under house arrest, he's writing letters to his churches. He's receiving visitors. He's directing the affairs of his churches remotely from Rome. Apparently, Paul was acquitted from those charges and he was released. He traveled east to Greece and to Turkey, and then he was rearrested, probably in Troas in Turkey, where he left his winter coat and his scrolls and his parchments. Alexander the coppersmith informed the Roman authorities that Paul was guilty of sedition. This is probably the same Alexander from Ephesus mentioned in both letters of 1 and 2 Timothy. He was a former elder in the Ephesian church who lost his way. Paul ordered Timothy to excommunicate Alexander, and now Alexander exacted his revenge. Paul was extradited back to Rome, and this time his imprisonment was horrendous in the Mamertine dungeon. His preliminary trial didn't go well. Hard to say what happened, but there were some people who could have come to the trial and testified on Paul's behalf, or at least have been there to support him in body, but they didn't show up for reasons that we don't know. Where were faithful Luke and Tychicus? Perhaps they were out on assignment, or perhaps when Paul was extradited from Turkey by the Roman military, they might not have been able to, as civilians, to get back to Rome. You know, the military, when it wants to, can move faster than civilians, and so perhaps they just couldn't get back to Rome in time for the trial. But here's what I want you to notice with me. Paul and his associates' unwavering commitment to the mission. When Paul was previously under house arrest for preaching the gospel, he preached the gospel to the entire palace guard. That's a pretty large pool of credible witnesses for the state right there. Yeah, he's still at it. He's still preaching. He preached the gospel to every visitor who came to him. He dispatched his mentees to go preach the gospel all over the empire. He wrote letters fanning the flame of the gospel. And now, when Paul is on preliminary capital trial in front of Emperor Nero for preaching the gospel, he preached the gospel to Nero. And Paul's associates kept going out and preaching the gospel. People who could have stood with Paul didn't for some reason, but that didn't stop Paul from fulfilling his mission. In Paul's eyes, this was the crowning moment of his entire ministry, what Jesus called him for on the Damascus Road when Jesus bumped into Saul, the Pharisee. He said, Paul, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles and I'm going to send you to their king. In Jerusalem, Jesus stood by Paul's bed one night and he said, don't be afraid, Paul, you will bear witness for me in Rome. At the preliminary trial, Paul understood the assignment. This is it. This is the moment of all moments that Christ called me for, and he went for it. Once again at that trial, Jesus stood beside Paul and gave him strength as he spoke. You know, that's the very thing Jesus promised he would do. He said, when they drag you before the courts, before governors and kings, he said, don't worry about it. In that moment, I'll be with you and I'll give you the words to speak. Beloved, listen, this is good right here. Just like Paul, we need to realize that the greatest trials of our faith are also the greatest opportunities to glorify Jesus. When it hurts the most, when the stakes are the highest, when our very lives are on the line, Jesus comes and he stands with us and he gives us the strength to give him glory. Listen, friends. I don't want to be gloomy on a gloomy morning, but we need to face the reality that because of our faith in Jesus, And because of our unwavering commitment to the spiritual and moral truth of God's word, we might be in for hardships sooner rather than later. We're at risk of being canceled. We're at risk of finding ourselves under an unwanted and undesirable spotlight. We might find ourselves boycotted or protested. We might face economic pressure. We might be investigated by government agents, even dragged before the court. Here's the critical question. Will we be courageous like Paul and his associates and fulfill our mission? We need to be confident like Paul. His preliminary trial didn't end in execution. God spared him from the lion's mouth. That's a reference drawn from Psalm 22. But this was Paul's attitude. No matter how this thing plays out from here, I'm coming out a winner either way. Jesus rescued me this time, and I trust he's going to keep on rescuing me until he's ready to bring me safely home to heaven. Nothing that any demonically inspired person can do is going to deny me of my eternal destiny in heaven with Jesus, so everything else is just gravy. This was the same confidence of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Babylon. No, King Nebuchadnezzar, we will not bow to your idol. We know our God can save us. We believe our God will save us. But no matter what happens, we're not going to stop praising him. It's the same confidence of the writer of Hebrews. We're going to do the book of Hebrews this year. God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, God is my helper. I will not live my life in fear, for what can mere mortals do to me? May Jesus in this hour on the earth give us holy courage to complete our mission. I want to tell you what, I'm never surrendering. I'm never backing down. I'm never compromising on Jesus. I'm never compromising on the Word of God. As long as I'm the pastor of this church, that's where Harvest Time Church is going. Until he comes, a few thoughts from Paul's final words, devoted to Scripture, devoted to Jesus' mission. Finally, this, until he comes, let's remain graciously devoted to each other. Let's remain graciously devoted to each other. There's one more key I find to Paul's staying power in his Christian life. It was his relationships with fellow believers. Paul was a people person. He relied upon his Christian friends to support him and encourage him. And in spite of a lot of ups and downs that Paul had with people over the years, he never stopped loving, he never stopped forgiving, he never stopped opening his heart to brothers and sisters and to people, and we need to do the same. Looking at all of these names in Paul's, these are the last words that he wrote on earth. Looking at all of these names, here's a few final observations about fellow believers. First of all, some fellow believers will disappoint us. Paul was disappointed by whomever failed to show up for his trial, but he chose to let it go. He refused to hold a grudge. He refused to hold on to bitterness. He said, may it not be held against them. Beloved, listen to me. When people are going to disappoint you, I'm sorry. I wish I didn't have to tell you that. But your friends in the body of Christ, brothers and sisters, they're going to disappoint you some way. There's going to be a moment that you wish that they were there for you, and for whatever reason, they couldn't be there. But you need to be like Paul, and you need to say, you know what? Jesus and I, we're not going to hold it against them. Some fellow believers will get diverted by life circumstances, and they won't finish the journey with us. Apparently, Trophimus was traveling with Paul through Turkey, and he took ill and couldn't go any further. Paul had to leave him sick in Miletus. Think about that. How many signs and wonders were done by the Apostle Paul, but this time, in the case of Trophimus, God decided differently. Trophimus was sidelined from the ministry, at least for a little while. And so it is that sometimes the people that we've traveled with just can't go any further with us. Through no fault of their own, a life circumstance diverts them, holds them back for a while, but we have to keep going on with the mission and keep them in our prayers. Some fellow believers will desert their faith and the body of Christ. Some will get discouraged by the demands of following Jesus in the crucified life. Some will turn away from following Jesus because of fear. Some will get distracted by shiny things. One of the saddest notes in Paul's final words is the mention of Demas. In better times, Demas was a fellow worker with Paul. He was even in prison for the Lord with Paul at one point, but now Paul says Demas has forsaken him because he loved the present world too much. I honestly don't believe that Demas ran off to live a life of materialism and debauchery. Maybe he did, but I don't think so. I think he was simply afraid of dying. Fraternizing with prisoners of Nero was risky business. It appears that Onesiphorus from Ephesus lost his life after bringing food to Paul in the dungeon. Perhaps Demas was afraid that he would suffer the same fate, so he cut and run and went to Thessalonica. In verse 8 of 2 Timothy 4, Paul says that Jesus will give a victor's crown to everyone who loves his appearing. Compare that with Demas, who loved the present world too much. Beloved, everybody look at me. This is as serious as it can be. We have to make a choice. What do we love? Do we love our life? I'm not talking about living a life of immorality and sin and all those things, but do we love our life here on earth too much, or do we love his appearing? Do we love life with him in heaven, the life that's to come? We have to decide. Some fellow believers will double cross their former Christian friends. Motivated by greed and ambition, the Ephesian elder Alexander wandered off into novel doctrines that tickled itching ears. Excommunicated by Paul, he seized his opportunity to get revenge and brought false charges against the apostle, probably in Troas in Turkey. Listen, there are some dangerous people that just need to be dodged. They just need to be avoided for the sake of the mission. Paul warns Timothy when he swings through Troas to get the winter coat and the scrolls and the parchments. He said, "Watch out for Alexander. Stay clear of him." Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, "Not everyone has faith." He wrote to the Philippians through tears, "Some are enemies of the cross." Timothy is carrying precious cargo. He has John Mark, who's about to write his gospel. He has the scrolls and the parchments, the foundational documents of the New Testament. It's imperative that they reach Rome. You see, when Paul and Luke and John Mark and Timothy, when the four of them rendezvous in Rome together, those four men are responsible for 2/3 of the New Testament. Their meeting had to happen. Some fellow believers will remain devoted for life. In contrast to Demas and Alexander, who deserted, who double-crossed, there's Luke, and there's Timothy, and there's Titus, and there's Tychicus, and there's Crescens, and Erastus, and Priscilla, and Aquila, and Onesiphorus, and a whole parade of others. Courage didn't come easily for young Timothy, but God gave him a spirit of power and of love and of sound mind that enabled him to stay the course. And God will give us the same to remain devoted to Jesus and the body of Christ and his mission for life. Is this all right this morning? Some fellow believers, this is my favorite part right here. Some fellow believers will bring double help in place of those who disappointed us. 2 Timothy begins and ends with a mention of Onesiphorus from Ephesus. His name means help bringer. When Onesiphorus heard about Paul's arrest, he hurried from Ephesus to Rome and he searched hard for Paul until he found him in the dungeon. He brought food and other necessary items to Paul again and again. You see, when you checked into the subterranean dungeon of the Mamertine prison, at the front desk, they didn't give you your complimentary card for breakfast buffet the next morning. They didn't feed you. There was no prison cafeteria. If you think prison food is bad, no prison food is even worse. And if your friends and your family didn't supply you, if they didn't bring you food, you would die. And so Onesiphorus again and again brought Paul refreshment. We believe, based on Paul's words, that he passed away. Paul wrote to Timothy, he helped me in Ephesus, and then he helped me again in Rome. He brought double help to me. You know, when we launched our very first capital campaign in 1999, the Lord sent me a very special friend to coach me. He had once pastored the largest Southern Baptist church in the country. He said to me, we were sitting in Centro, it's gone now, but down in Glenville across the street from our old location where we used to meet, we were sitting at a table in Centro, and I will never forget these words, the seed of faith that he put in my heart. He said, Glenn, in every campaign, there are some people who decline to participate for whatever reason. He said, just leave them in God's hands. But in their place, God will give you men of Tekoa who will do their share and do someone else's share as well. That's a reference to the book of Nehemiah. There were some people who refused to do work rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. So the men of Tekoa did their section of the wall, and then they went and did another section of the wall left undone by somebody else. Last weekend on Commitment Sunday, we had two very special couples from our past who were here with us. One couple now lives hundreds of miles away, and the other couple lives over 1,000 miles away. But they said to me, Pastor Glenn, we have been here for every Commitment Sunday of this church, and we came today because we didn't want to miss the opportunity to give again. Double help bringers. Some fellow believers will bounce back. I like this. This is good too. Some fellow believers will bounce back from disgrace stronger than ever. Worship team, you can come help me finish. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he predicted that Peter would deny him 3 times. But Jesus said, I have prayed for you, Peter, and when you return, you will strengthen many others. If you know the history between the Apostle Paul and John Mark, then you realize how deeply moving Paul's words are here, his final words. Get Mark and bring him with you because he's helpful to me in ministry. Some 30 years earlier, during the first missionary journey, John Mark deserted Paul and Barnabas. He couldn't hack it. The spiritual warfare was too intense. The demonic manifestations and the deliverances were too intense. The persecution was too intense. So he cut and he ran away back to Jerusalem. Barnabas just happened to be John Mark's uncle. When Paul was ready to go on his second missionary journey, Barnabas insisted that they bring along John Mark. When Paul refused, they had a major, major fight, and they ended their ministry partnership. John Mark made no small mess for Paul, and yet here is Paul calling for him now. Bring him to me, because he's helpful to me for the ministry. I wish I could tell you that there are never any falling outs between believers. I wish I could tell you there are never any falling outs between Christian leaders, but it happens. St. Augustine said, God is building his kingdom out of the twisted boards of humanity. Apparently, Augustine bought his lumber at Home Depot. All you carpenters know what I mean. I can't tell you that fallouts never happen, but I can assure you that his grace can bring people back from disgrace even stronger and even better than ever. This December is our 40th anniversary celebration. First weekend in December, Pastor Jim Cimbala from the Brooklyn Tabernacle is going to be here with us for one of our celebration services. But I'm really praying that that whole weekend as we turn 40 is going to be a healing time, that God's grace will bring back some people better and stronger than ever before. Finally this, and I'll finish. You doing okay? I'm almost done. There's coffee and donuts downstairs ready for you. I still have 5 minutes on the clock too. That's a miracle. Finally this, some improbable fellow believers are destined for great things in God's kingdom. I feel like I'm supposed to say this today. You don't know who is sitting next to you. You don't know the God-given greatness inside of them that's about to flower and emerge. You don't know what great things God has planned to do through them. In addition to Paul's letters that he took down and then helped the co-author, faithful Luke, was about to write 1/3 of the New Testament on his own. John Mark was about to write his gospel. Timothy would compile all of these parchments at Ephesus. When St. John came along a little later to Ephesus, he would add his own gospel and his own letters, plus those of Matthew and Jude and James and Hebrews, those associated with the Jerusalem church. Linus, mentioned here in verse 21 of chapter 4, would become the bishop of Rome following the apostle Peter. John Mark grew very close with Peter, and he brought Peter's letters to Ephesus along with the gospel that he penned. Onesimus, the once runaway slave, became the bishop of Ephesus after St. John, and he added to the collection of New Testament parchments Paul's letter sent to his former boss begging for grace on Onesimus' behalf. Listen, here's the point. If they hadn't been graciously devoted to one another, we wouldn't have the New Testament today, and we wouldn't be here either. Precious friends, fellow believers will disappoint us sometimes. Some will get distracted, some will get diverted, some may desert us, some may even double cross us. But let's remain graciously devoted to one another. Let's bring people back from disgrace even stronger than ever. Let us be the ones who are committed to being the double help bringers. Because God has destined this house, this church, this family. God has destined us to accomplish great things until he comes. Stand on your feet and give Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a great big praise in this place today. Oh, come on, don't give him a wimpy little praise. Give him a great big praise this morning. Now listen, I still have 2 minutes on the clock, and then we're leaving for vacation just for a couple of days, all right? Would you do something with me if you're willing? I want to just worship the Lord one more time together before we leave this place today. And if you're willing, would you step out of your seat? We're going to sing that song, Yeshua. Yeshua, if you don't know, is the Hebrew name for Jesus. And we're going to just take one moment worshiping the Lord and praying together before we go on with our Sunday. If you're willing, would you come join us here at the front? And we're just going to worship Him for a moment before we go home and start our new week in Jesus. Come on, let's do it. Come down, let's sing. If you're willing, would you take your hand and put it over your heart? If you're willing, and I just want to pray for you. Father, I thank you for the people of God. I thank you for the people you love so much. We marvel, we're amazed. You've called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Lord, you've called us to show forth your praises, the praises of Jesus and the glory of God the Father. Father, I pray that in these last days, Lord, as we see terrible times just beginning to occur around us, Father, I pray that you would just strengthen the resolve in our heart, God. Father, I pray that we would be diligently devoted to the Word of God, to the Scriptures. Lord, I pray that we'd never stop reading, never stop reflecting, never stop learning, never stop growing, never stop memorizing the Word. I pray that we would know what the Word says. Father, I pray that we would have scrolls and parchments, scrolls and parchments, scrolls and parchments, the Scriptures marked up, well read, highlighted, underlined, and a journal of our own reflections and insights. Father, I pray that you'd help us to be more quiet when we pray And I pray that you help us to ask more questions when we read. Father, I pray that we would be courageously devoted to the mission. Father, I pray that we wouldn't cower in fear. Pray, Father, that we wouldn't hold back, Lord. I pray that we would proclaim the truth of Jesus, the love of God. This is love, that God sent his only Son, Jesus. Father, I pray that we would be graciously devoted to each other. Lord, though we may be disappointed sometimes, though some may be diverted, though some may become distracted, Lord, though some may desert their faith and the body of Christ, even perhaps double cross us. God, I pray that we would be the ones devoted for life. Father, I pray that we would be the double help bringers, Lord. Father, I pray that we would be the ones to bring people back from disgrace, Lord, stronger than ever. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would destine us to do great things in these last hours on the earth. Lift up your hands if you would. Father, I pray for the blessing of heaven on your people. God, I pray that this coming week you would be with us every step, every moment of every day. I pray that you'd bless us when we lie down at night to sleep. Lord, I thank you for giving every member of our HTC family, Lord, beautiful, peaceful, restoring, refreshing night's sleep, Lord. I pray you'd sing songs of deliverance over us in the night hours, Lord. I pray that you'd visit us, Lord, in heavenly dreams and visions and angelic visitations. Lord, I pray, Jesus, that you'd stand beside our bed and say, take courage, have courage, be courageous. Father, I pray that you'd be with us when we wake up in the morning. Lord, when we sit at table. Lord, when we leave our house for work, for school, for responsibilities. When we come home again, Lord, watch over us. Watch over us in our cars, on the roads, on the highways, Lord God. Lift up your hands, Father. Let everything we touch prosper. Let everything we touch prosper. Make your people like Joseph in Egypt, Lord. Make your people like Daniel in Babylon, Lord Jesus. Make your people like the three Hebrew children in Babylon, like David in Saul's court, Lord. Make your people like Esther and Mordecai in the Persian court, Lord Jesus. Let everything we touch prosper. Favor, 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 favor with God and favor with man. Favor with God, favor with man. Lift up your hands if you're willing, Lord. I pray that this week you would be our door opener. I thank you that you're our good shepherd. Lord, that you go ahead of us and you search out green pastures and still waters, Lord. Be a door opener to green. I pray for everybody that needs a place to live or a better place to live, Lord. Be the door opener, Lord Jesus. For everybody that needs a job or a better job, be the door opener, Lord Jesus. Father, in relationships, pray that you'd anoint our heads with oil, that we'd be in peace, oh God. Prepare a banqueting table for us in the presence of our enemies. They can't touch us. All they can do is watch while we enjoy, Lord, a banquet of repose and plenty and satisfaction in your presence, in your joy. Father, thank you for the blessings of God on your people. Lord, go with us. Every sick body, I ask for healing in Jesus' name. Every grieving heart, Lord, I ask for peace, for comfort. You are the God of all comfort, Lord Jesus. So we thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come on, would you just begin to thank him, church? Just begin to thank him. Thank him, thank him, thank him, thank him. The Lord is good and his mercies endure forever. Just begin to thank him for all that. Thank you, Lord. The Lord is good and his mercies endure forever. Sataraba, shataraba, sataraba, 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 sataraba. Come on, just begin to thank him, thank him, thank him. We thank you, God. 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 Worship. worship you, God. Come on, church, let's just give him some thanks. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Oh, come on, sing it again. My beloved is the fairest of thousands. Come on, sing it. Give the Lord a good praise, would you? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right, now I ran the clock over, so, but I'm leaving for vacation, so you have a week to forgive me. So, Auntie Terry, Uncle Brian, do you have anything from the Lord? Anything? Come share. Pastor Nick, do you have anything? Come share if you have anything. So, Benny or GC, if you have something, yeah, come share. Any of our house prophets, yeah.
Hey, He is the bright and shining one. He is all powerful and he is glorious. He is the bright morning star. He is the first and the last. And I just sense the power of the Lord Jesus just flowing through this place. And we can tap into that power. I just saw this giant outlet on the wall, and the Lord just inviting us to just plug in to the power that is resident in the name of Jesus. And I sense that there's a few here, and I heard the Lord saying that there's been resistance, there's been persecution, there's been obstacles in your way, in the places of people, in your neighborhood and in your workplace. And I heard the Lord saying that your places of resistance are now going to be the places of your facilitation into the path that God has for you. Don't kick against the goads, because God has a path for you. He will facilitate. He will use those who are against you to facilitate the way that you should take, the way that he has for you. So open your eyes and see. Give, ask him to give you eyes to see and ears to hear, so that you can follow the path instead of feeling like you're just being attacked and attacked and attacked. And you may be, but God says there is a facilitation through this situation that will lead you into the path that I have for you in the name of Jesus.
Listen, if there's a little hand attached to your heart, it's called faith. So Dr. Robin, he can't see it on an x-ray, but it's there, I promise. So if that word is for you, reach out with that little hand called faith and pull it into your heart and receive it, all right? Pastor Nick.
Thanks, Pastor. I had a couple personal words and then like a group word. So my friend Steve over here, the Lord showed me you with a new mantle of authority on you. It was like a stole, like it was being placed upon your shoulders. And it's not the one you already know about. It's in addition to that. So I don't know what that means. There's a young man somewhere over in this area. You need to come back to God. God's been pursuing you, and you've been running from him. He's protected you from a couple of car crashes already, and you need to come back to the Lord. This young lady, Michelle, I just met you this morning, but the Lord says that you've been hidden away, you've been tucked away in God's pocket, and God says he's taking you out now, and he says it's okay for you to begin to step with confidence into the things that he's bringing you out, the new things that he's bringing you out into. So the Lord said that he wants to heal people's hearing today. And it was physical hearing, but it was also spiritual healing in line with what Pastor Glenn was sharing about the Word of God. Because there's a number of people all over the room. Your testimony is that when you read the Bible, you don't understand it, that it doesn't make sense to you, that you walk away from it, and it's like you forgot what you read. And there's a lot of people in this room that are in that condition. And God's going to break that off you right now. We're going to pray. So if you need to hear and be able to understand and put things better together in God's word, or if you need a healing in your physical hearing, just put your hand on one of your ears and let's pray. Father, open ears right now. God, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, we say ears be loosed. Be opened in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. Spirit of deafness, go in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Physical healings, God, let your dunamis power be released in the ears, left ear, the right ear damage. There was a sharp object that went into somebody's ear, and the Lord is healing that right now. Work-related injuries, too much noise or explosions or loud noise or whatever it was, and God is healing that too. We say be healed in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray that you would release, Lord, about this issue of spiritual healing and hearing and being able to connect things together in God's word. Father, I pray that you would release the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel, into people's hearts right now, God. Holy Spirit, come and enable them to see things in the Word, enable them to retain the Word, enable them to make the divine connections that the Holy Spirit has for them in the Word in a way that they never have before, in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Pastor. When we were sitting up here, Pastor, when you brought us up, I felt like the Holy, it was amazing, because I felt like the Holy Spirit showed me you standing here with a staff, and it was like a staff in Aaron's or Moses. It was wooden, but then it turned into a very beautiful, ornate, golden rod staff with many jewels on it, and you were using it just like we hear in the Bible, where, you know, it would be thrown down and it would turn into a snake and then be picked up again, and that staff was in your hand and mantle was on you up here. And it was just such a powerful imagery of the Old Testament, of you holding that up there. And I was going to share it personally with you later, but since you called up, I just said, well, this is for everyone to see and hear. So that, praise be to God.
So this is the time of counting the Omer, where you count to the day of Pentecost. And the Lord's been really speaking to me about this. And he gave me a personal word the other day, but I feel it's for everyone. So I'm just gonna read you some of the things he said to me. I'm about to truly redeem the time in your life, but you must hear me and cooperate. No more procrastinating. And I'm a big, huge procrastinator, so, you know, that was personally for me, but he's saying, cut it out now. I will lead you day by day for the remainder of the counting of the Omer, and we will walk out the harvest together, bringing in all of the harvest, not just of the current, but of the past, into redemption. From there, you will walk out your calling from a different place, a different anointing, into the calling that has always been in your life, but not yet realized, or maybe not even yet revealed. This will be a tough love time in the coming weeks, but we must bring our flesh into account and come into submission with him. And Father, I just thank you, Lord, that this is a time of redemption. This is a time of you taking everything in our life, our past, good and bad, and redeeming it, and redeeming the time that we may have lost because of others, because of ourselves, because of just the things that we've done that weren't wrong, that weren't improper, weren't anything that we realized. But the Lord wants more for us. He wants better for us. He wants so much for us. And so as you're spending these days up to Pentecost, I would just ask, as I plan to do, just bow before him, yield to him, submit to him, and get in that word. That was no cornbread speech there. That was real deal. Get in the word. Because if the word's not in us, it's not going to come out of us. And so let it be deep in you. Take the time in these coming days and weeks to truly dig in and allow the Lord to change your life forever.
Thank you, sir. Come on, let's just give the Lord one more good praise. Father, I just pray that your people would just go in your peace, your grace, your joy, until we come together again. And everyone said, amen. God bless you, everyone. Have a great Sunday. Have a great week in Jesus. If you need prayer, the prayer room's across the foyer in that direction. God be with you all.